Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. The following episode is brought to you by Rorschach. Who is Rorschach? To find out, visit HearUsTalk.com/WhoIsHe. Hi, my name is Ken, and this isn't your typical podcast. It was recorded live, remains unedited, and is available to anyone who can endure a foul-mouthed Australian kid, Rammstein, and a detailed argument against most of the people I encounter from day-to-day life. If that's you, enjoy the next 2 hours. And eat shit.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickhead.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey. Safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark. We proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
Are you guys having a killer time?
Yes.
Sweet.
No. No. No.
Yeah.
Hey, Donna! Have you shot the coffee yet?
Snap! Yes. Welcome, welcome one and all to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right, you're listening to the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. And yes, we are that podcast introduced and warmed up by a band from Germany. Now, which band? You guessed it. Rammstein! I'm losing, you know what, I'm losing my enthusiasm for the fucking scream, that, like the Doom 2, I just got fucking murdered, I got fragged in multiplayer scream. Thank you everybody for tuning into the DJ New Style Show, and all this horse shit that we do every Tuesday night on HearUsTalk.com. And speaking of horse shit, Shawnee Murphy, ladies and gentlemen. Shawnee Murphy, how you doing, buddy?
Gotta tell you, I'm friggin' cold.
Really? You're chilly?
It is freezing out. What the hell happened to this Jersey weather?
Is that why you're wearing a fleece?
I'm wearing a fleece, but there's a hidden benefit I discovered with this thing.
What's that?
If I zip it up, I just become this nebulous head on the screen.
You disappear, and this is for the visual.
Just a floating head.
The visual audience who can check out the show, they can see us recording every episode Tuesday nights 9 to 11. If you just download it every week and you subscribe, you might be missing Shawnee Murphy and his fucking I'm too cold fucking fleece. Ustreamer 43090, right off the bat, unleashing
starting right off
pure venom towards you, calling you a goddamn pussy.
Right off the bat, because of the cold.
It's chilly.
It is fucking cold, man.
You know who's having a fucking...
My house is like at a toasty 55, I think, right now.
Yeah, and your coworker is just fucking naked in the spare bedroom sweating. It is pretty fucking cold, though. It's time to just fucking get used to it. This is how it's going to be for a few months now. Hold on. Am I really about to slip into a let's get ready for winter fucking dialogue?
I don't know. It feels like we're on our way there. This is fucking bullshit.
I need to just fucking set myself on fire when I hear this shit. Like, I don't want to, I can't. I can't fucking do it. I'm sorry. I'm just, I miss the summer. I do. And it's cold. I recognize that. Let's just be done with it. Did you have a good fucking weekend? It's been 7 days since we've done the show.
I had an eventful weekend.
Did you?
Well, just like a pain in the ass weekend, really.
Yeah, really. I have no idea.
Yeah, you have no idea. Actually, your weekend was probably as big a pain in the ass as mine, just simply due to me, though.
Yeah. Listen, I came to the aid of a friend this weekend. You know what happened? Shawnee Murphy needed a friend. He turned to at least three other people, and then he fell down. He fell down that far on the list that he needed to call me. Did I reject him? Did I hesitate? Yes. But then I ultimately realized that I needed to give you a hand. Now, what happened? Explain it to the people listening right now.
I hit the king of fucking potholes.
Yeah, you hit
on my way home from the bar on Friday night.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw the pothole today. Up. You went and did a little reconnaissance, saw the pothole.
Well, I mean, it happens to be on my commute home. Like, I drive that part of the road every day, basically. And when you told me you hit a pothole, I'm like, oh, well, God, your car must have really weak fucking tires, because I know there's a pothole there, and I always avoid it. But I really got a good look at it after your accident, and it's like it's about a foot and a half deep. You went
it was dark. It was rainy that night. I just thought that was like, you know, a wet spot on the road. I hit the friggin' thing. My car like got absorbed into the friggin' hole. First, I thought I had just bent a tie rod or done something, you know, really bad to the car. But as time went on, it was the shaking of the car was getting worse. And I said, "Oh shit, I got a flat tire." So Ken, you did me a solid, picked me up Saturday morning, took me to get my car taken care of.
I had enough time to do things in the day. Like, we got it done early enough, but I basically burned a day doing this.
Burned a day?
I burned a whole day doing this.
It took you, what, 3 hours of your morning?
I was done at 11 a.m. Usually that's when I wake up.
Burned your whole day.
I wake up at Saturday and around 11 normally, but I figured that, like, I've done enough things that day. So, like, I just chalked it up as a fucking loss.
Yeah, I gotta say, you did. You drove to my house, which is about, what, 35 minutes away.
Yeah.
Drove me down to where your house was, because that's where my friggin' car was. So, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty eventful day, you know, an hour of driving for a weekend.
Yeah, it's enough. And then I was gonna fix a fucking hole in the ceiling that I just got. That's another thing in the fucking litany of complaints I have with the house that we purchased. I've always noticed that there was a little weak spot in the ceiling, and I know that they've had leaks in the past that were fixed, so I figured it was just like a remnant from, you know, water constantly dripping in that one spot. So I asked my dad, how you fix it, and he's like, oh, just take a screwdriver and run it around there, kind of, you know, even out the hole until it gets to where it's all kind of stable and there's no, like, flimsy edges, and then patch it with, you know, spackle, whatever. So I put the fucking screwdriver in the hole, and just this fucking crater appears in the ceiling, and a piece of a fucking wasp nest falls onto my fucking face. The hole, when I was done, the hole was about 7 inches across. The patch I had was 8. I bought an 8x8 fucking metal patch. I'm thinking this will be more than enough. And, apparently they had not only leaks, but problems with fucking carpenter bees. And every time I get into this fucking just discovery of some horror that was left behind by the previous owners, I'm just ever reminded, and it plays on loop in my fucking brain. We left you a really beautiful bird feeder, and I hit my fucking face on the little metal piece of shit that they left, the fucking throwaway. When I was mowing the lawn, right after I patched up the fucking hole, and every time I see it or I feel wronged by the house, that fucking bird feeder just haunts me. I ripped it off the tree in a fit of rage, and I pitched it into the fucking woods as far as I could throw it.
Yeah, I think, you know, when they said that to you, they had to just be laughing their asses off at that point. They're like, we're going to tell this dumb fuck that we're leaving him a bird feeder, and he's too stupid to realize that he's getting screwed on this deal.
I mean, judging on the stuff that they wanted to leave us, like, everything was shit. We accepted some of the shit because we didn't have any shit. Like, nothing was kind of, like, better. Like, something was better than nothing in some cases. Whereas, in other cases, I would rather have zero than your stuff. Your fucking stained mattress they wanted to leave us. But with this bird feeder, I didn't notice it. So I'm like, oh, you did? That's great. I'll have to look. And I got back. And yeah, Ustreamer 523 in the HeroesTalk.com chat room has it right. It was a fucking suet cage. If you've ever bought a suet cake, you know that it comes with a goddamn a 25-cent fucking wire cage. That's the beautiful bird feeder. I fucking threw that thing about 450 feet. I summoned strength that I just didn't possess. I was so fucking furious. But, I mean, so I had plans. I was going to patch that. I had to do the lawn. I was going to paint. I ended up, you know, fixing the hole and mowing the lawn and murdering the bird cage. And then I just called it a fucking day. At like 2 o'clock, I'm like, yeah, nothing else is getting done today. That's it. I fixed the flat tire. I told myself,
you fixed the flat
yeah,
tire?
Yeah. Ultimately, I delegated it to you, kind of, right?
You managed.
I made it happen.
You oversaw the fixing of a flat tire.
I didn't do anything to really make it happen except drive you there. But I like to think that I headed up the operation. Did I not hold the fucking the air pump? I held the air pump once.
You did, and at one point you ran and got me a napkin.
And you know what? You parked in some kind of a strip mall, I guess. Instead of bringing it to the fucking tire place when you noticed the flat, you decided, I'll just leave it in front of a fucking a beauty parlor at a strip mall. I'll just leave it there. It's, you know what? The tire place is like a mile away, but I think that, you know, this might be the perfect fucking place for it. So you wanted to go to AutoZone and get some of this fix-a-flat spray can shit. Like, I guess this is a product that you use every time you get a flat.
I fail at using it every time. You know, it costs like $7, and you just hope and pray that this is going to be the time this bullshit product is actually going to work. It never ever does. I've used it like 8 times, but you know, it's got such a good scam going because you feel like if this works, I'm gonna be good, and so you have to use it because it costs you almost nothing to do.
Yeah.
But it never fucking works. It just squirts bullshit all over your fucking hands.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, to the point where we actually saw it leaking out the tire. It was squirting.
It was
out the
it
hole
was
in the
it
tire.
Was ejaculating all over the fucking parking lot. And to address CWE Radio in HeroesTalk.com chat room, he says, "Is it that green goopy stuff in a can? No, that is tire slime, which requires you to remove the fucking." The valve on your tire to basically deconstruct your tire and just squirt this fucking sludge into it. This fix-a-flat, and I'm sure that works just as poorly. But the fix-a-flat stuff is it's like an aerosol can, and the actual instructions are to hook it up to the valve and spray it until the tire lifts off the ground. Like there's enough fucking air in that can to inflate your fucking tire, and it just didn't do anything for you. It just filled your tire with shit, no air, and
then we sat there like jackasses. We're yeah. Pinching the slit in the tire shut because at least the fix-a-flat let us know where the hole was.
That's true.
Because that was its only benefit. It actually
yeah, it
showed
it was
us
like a tracer.
Where the hole in the tire was. Yeah, it was exactly. It was like a tracer. We saw where the hole was. I'm like, I hear noise. And then we looked over there, and I got squirted by fix-a-flat goo in the face. So then we were able to pin the hole shut enough that we could get the tire compressor or the air compressor to fill up the tire a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I proceeded to drive it the mile down the street and basically have no air at all once I got to the tire shop.
Yeah, and you had your fucking flashers on, your emergency lights, and you're backing out. You're trying to back out of a spot. This woman is fucking parked behind you. Like, we have a limited amount of time to fucking get to this place before you're just completely flat again. We have to spend another 10 minutes getting your tires.
Yeah, I mean, literally, we were like a pit crew.
Yeah.
Like, we were ready to unhook the hose.
And this fucking bitch.
Unhook the hose and run.
Just, like, does the, like, oh, I'll wait for him to pull out and take his spot. But she's, like, directly in back of you. She's not letting you move. So I fucking beeped at her. I screamed a few times. And eventually you got out, and then you caught every fucking light. And you literally were riding on a rim.
Three traffic lights, and we hit every freaking one along the way for a mile.
I was fucking exhausted. I mean, I couldn't work that day. I chalk it up as a fucking loss. You probably got everything done. Everything worked out.
Yep, got a new tire on there. It's like the first time in my life they've had my tire in stock. Because my car, it's bullshit. It fucking eats tires because they're basically, you know, nothing to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hit anything and the tires go. So this is about the 10th time I've dealt with flat tires in this car. And in Audi's brilliant.
Oh, you mentioned the kind of car you have.
I think I've done that before, haven't I?
I'm just saying that, you know, listeners have been talking.
They've been talking.
There are certain things like weird things that you won't mention. Like you'll kind of gloss over certain things, but you won't think twice about detailing, you know, the drive and Jack, the masturbating while driving, the beating up your friend. Like you'll go into full detail on those things, but like you won't say your age.
Yeah, it's odd because it's like the things that should embarrass people.
Yeah,
somehow I have no problem talking about. But once I, you know, something that, you know, you should have no problem admitting.
Yeah.
I somehow hold back on that. Like you asked me, I think it was the episode where we were talking about beating up my friend.
Yeah.
You asked me, you go, how old are you? Yeah. You know, the sarcastic, how old are you? And I'm like,
don't make it sound like I'm in the fat female fucking friend on a sitcom. I said, how old are you? I was disgusted. I wasn't like being sassy. You said it all fucked up. But anyway, in the next breath, you said something fucking shameful.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm in my 30s.
Yeah, but, I'm in my 30s. And
this is the week after I detailed jacking it in my car, and the week before I talked about how slow I shit, and the same episode I talked about beating up my friend.
Yeah.
Somehow I can't admit how old I am. I don't get it. And this isn't the only thing that's odd about what I'll admit to people.
Really? I mean, it's weird because, like, I guess you get to a point where you feel like you're being personal, maybe. Like you're almost starting a friendship kind of by like telling. Is that like what it is? You're getting letting people too close to you?
Maybe it's a little bit like I'm kind of a character on the show. And I can say things that are like character, but yeah, maybe it's when I'm being real that I'm like, oh fuck. But I don't know if it's that because I had another incident outside of the show yesterday, in fact. That I sat there and I said, what the fuck are you doing this for? Why did you go down this path? I literally got into a bizarre lie situation for no apparent reason.
Now, where did this happen?
All right. So yesterday I had my semi-annual dental cleaning checkup thing.
Okay.
So I'm there. And you know how it is when you go to these things. Like the hygienist always wants to make chit-chat.
Ugh.
And do the small talk. And I'm terrible at the small talk. I am no good at it.
Yeah.
And so what always happens, you know, this is, you know, you go to the dentist, you go there twice a year for your cleaning, right?
Yep.
So two things happen. The one trip you go, it's how were your holidays? And then the other trip was, how was your summer?
Yeah, it's true. That's really all it is.
Those are like the two built-in small talk bullshit things that everyone has. Mm-hmm. You know, the how were your holidays, how was your summer?
Yeah.
So, you know, this being October, the holidays haven't come around yet. I am now up to the how was your summer? So, you know, I hate the small talk. So I'm just like, it was good.
Okay.
And I kind of hope people are going to leave it at that. I really don't want to engage in the small talk, you know, especially when you got, you know, someone else pointed out that they've got like the tools in your mouth. You got the friggin' hose. It's sucking the life out of you. Whenever you're talking, it's just like, there's nothing good about small. It's like the worst environment for small talk is when you're getting
dental cleaning. When they small talk you and they follow up with an and suction. Like I hate more than the small talk. I hate the fucking, the pseudo calm back and forth between the dentist and the fucking hygienist when he goes in to do like the final check. I hate the, and oh, we got a little clausal on the K2, and okay, I'm gonna need a, like, I just fucking talk like you're gonna talk. They don't speak like that, but the small talk does drive me fucking insane too. I wish they would stop.
But so eventually I'm hoping that pseudo answer of that was good, how was yours, would suffice. But no, gotta dig in further. And literally, she must have known that this was going to be awful for me, because she waits until the cleaning. So she starts off the conversation, like, when I sit in the chair, about the how was your summer.
Yeah.
And then we go through the entire cleaning. You know, we're talking about sports centers on the TV there. We're talking about football. You know, that's been a while. And so it's all done. And then she's like, so, did you go anywhere this summer?
No, I'm sorry. You're done with fucking speaking to me. It's over. You don't get to talk to me unless you tell me a date and time for the next fucking uncomfortable conversation with you.
She decides to ask me if I went anywhere this summer.
At the end.
At the end. At the end of the whole conversation. After
and now, you have no tools in your mouth or anything like that. It's all clean.
Nothing. I actually have to do a real answer.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I literally did nothing this summer. I didn't go on any trips. I didn't do shit. I mean, the closest thing I did to anything was doing this show. That was about the most fun I had this summer.
Jesus Christ.
And but for some strange reason, I was awkward about answering that I did nothing this summer. Like, there was something, like, inherently wrong with me if I said I did nothing. So instead, I say I took a few trips.
Oh, you didn't even go with, like, one. You just a few. Yeah. You're fucking jet-setting all over the goddamn country.
And so she responds, and this is where it gets bad, because I just basically start this spiral of lies that I can't get out of. And so she's like, oh, where'd you go? You know, what'd you do? Oh, just some short weekend trips.
How old is the person that you're talking to?
She's probably a couple years older than me. Maybe my age, a couple years older. I have a feeling she's one of those women that looks older than she actually is. Like, she's not holding it together well.
Okay, so maybe she's tired of hearing, like, about a child's family vacation to fucking Disney, and she wanted to see what, like, an adult would do with the summer, and maybe compare in her own head. Maybe have an actual conversation.
Yeah. See, I couldn't do that, so I just started making stuff up. So she asked me, oh, where did you go? And she kind of fed me my answer, which was nice. Like, oh, where did you go? Down the shore?
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah, I went down the shore. And she's like, oh, whereabouts? And I'm like, God, won't this conversation end? I got to get out of it. And so the first place that popped in my mind, oh, I went to Atlantic City. Oh, really? Atlantic City? Where'd you stay?
Does that, like, when you say I went to the shore, does Atlantic City, is that typically a response?
I don't know. Probably not. It's probably not the appropriate response.
I would say it's not.
I'm floundering at this point. You know,
nobody goes to AC for, like, shore activities. They go there to lose fucking pension and social security checks.
You know, I was floundering, man. I was making up a lie on the fly that I had no intention on ever getting into. You know, yeah, normally when you're gonna make up some sort of bullshit story, you come in there prepared.
Atlantic City thing was like you trying to shift it away from beach to, like, maybe just gambling, so you could just say, yeah, I gamble a lot. end it there, maybe she would feel bad or something.
No, but then she goes and asks me where I stayed. So now I gotta make up a hotel. I'm like, I stayed at the Borgata. Oh, really? Yeah, I love the Borgata. Did you? And she's asking me, did you go see this
restaurant? Did you talk to Chuck?
Yeah.
Next time, talk to Chuck. Tell him I sent you. He's great.
Ugh. But fortunately enough, she gave me the chance to change the conversation over once we started talking about Atlantic City, because she's like, oh, yeah, I love the Borgata, but I always lose there. And I'm like, oh, you got to go to places you win. Where do you go?
Why are you extending it?
Because I had to get out. It was never going to end otherwise.
So, yep, it's a good place, period.
I painted myself into a corner with this conversation.
Can I have the little sticker with the date on it?
I don't even know why I'm involving myself in this conversation. I'm sitting there. I'm like, why the fuck did you start this conversation that you can't get out of? Like, there's no point in making up this lie, yet for some reason I did. And then after the whole thing was said and done, I realized – that this is exactly the same as me, for whatever reason, refusing to say what my age is on the air. Like, I'll talk about these insane things that everyone else on earth would probably be embarrassed to, like, you know, publicize on air.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about this, but yet I won't tell people my exact age, and I won't tell people that I did nothing for the summer. I don't know what's wrong with me. There's definitely something seriously going wrong in my brain to make all of this happen.
You know, there are a lot of people actually chiming in here. Casey said that she does the made-up story thing. Every time they try to make small talk, she just lies and said her Uncle Jerry Seinfeld took her on his boat. And oh, and Dart wants to know, did you pick a prize out of the treasure chest? Did you get a little pencil or a Chinese finger trap?
No, my dentist only gives you like cleaning supplies, like floss and toothpaste, which I actually like because I get the travel size.
Well,
stuff,
you didn't have like the little kid treasure chest. You get like a fucking thimble or some fucking rubberized toothbrush with fucking googly eyes or something.
No, I did not get that.
Oh, we had that.
You still get it now?
Yeah, of course, it's free. Why not? I'll take the little whistle. or the shitty number puzzle, which is just that like that throwaway fucking party favor where you have to get the numbers in order. Casey's saying they have jacks. I've seen a lot of pencils, pencil sharpeners, even like a fucking
get the eraser on the end of the pencil. I remember that when I was a kid, you would get like an eraser to put on the end of a pencil, which
yeah,
already
like
had the
like the little pencil condom eraser thing where you eventually you wear it down, it like rips off, and you start using the little ring.
Like, what kind of cheap fuck goes and replaces their eraser?
I left you a wonderful pencil in your desk. It's got an eraser and everything.
Like, terrible. You know, I'm running low on this pencil.
Yeah.
I need a new eraser for it. I used to put it on there because I didn't know what else to do with it. So you'd have that. And the worst part is it always had that like that point on the end.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as good as a regular eraser.
Yeah, it was like shaped like a fucking paintbrush. But the thing is, like, it would be part of like the back to school kit. Like, you would get them just like because you just did, and like you didn't really want to use them. You just wanted to use another pencil, but because you had the extra one, you'd use it, and that means you're gonna use this fucking pencil until your knuckle has the little metal rim on it. Like, it's a 1-inch long pencil, and it's fucking embarrassing to use. You look like you're a fucking poor kid using this, but I still did it. I still used the fucking pencil down to the goddamn nub.
Every single person did. I don't know a single person who didn't use their pencil down to that little nub. You'd be holding that little tiny end, like you're not using the pencil right, and impossible to get an A in your writing class.
Yeah, the writing class. Jesus.
You never had that? You remember you had that?
Did we? I don't remember it.
Shit.
Maybe when we had to write in cursive, like that one year.
How to write when you're like in kindergarten.
Oh yeah, but like you use the fucking the big fucking inch and a half thick pencil.
Nah, they teach
that
you that
fucking
the way
twig with lead in it. That gigantic retard pencil. You would use that. That's when the writing stopped. Like when you started bringing in your own shit. Like you writing was on you at that point.
I think writing went all the way through until like
eighth grade.
Or so.
That's a shitty Z, Shawnee Murphy.
When did you learn cursive? Cursive's like fourth grade, right?
Second grade.
Oh, no.
And then I never used it again.
Yeah, I hate cursive. It's fucking bullshit.
Does anybody fucking, like my grandmother, will write a goddamn birthday card in script or cursive?
I can't even sign my own name properly anymore.
I just fucking write a squiggle.
So, like, the W in Sean,
yeah.
I put too many, like, points on it. Like, it looks like two U's stuck together.
Yeah. I can't. I don't want to fucking do it anymore. I don't. But back to the dentist. Are you going to go back there to that same
dentist?
You weren't embarrassed to the point where you need to find a new one?
No, I think I actually did an okay job getting myself out of the conversation. Mm. I mean, it was awful, and I questioned why on earth I did it. That's more my issue with it, is why the hell did I decide to make up some bullshit arbitrary lie on the fly about my summer vacation?
Maybe you just wanted to avoid the, why not? Don't know.
You know what? It never would have ended either way.
Yeah.
There was no out of – you're right. That's probably it, because there was no way I was getting out of this conversation either way. Even if I said no, there would have been like some sort of pity. Like, oh, that's too bad.
I have the unfortunate circumstance of like a lot of my family goes to the same dentist. So they see the same hygienists and shit. There's the one lady with like – just doesn't care – just fucking hooks into you. You bleed every time. And we all know her as, like, the bleed lady. And she'll always talk to us about her fucking kids. Like, I went to the Rose Bowl last year. And, like, she just puts that out there in case you want to chime in. Like, she won't even ask. She's, like, she's digging into your fucking, your teeth and your gums. And, like, is asking you to spit pure blood into the fucking little vacuum sink thing. And then she just says little things about her kids. Just wants feedback. Went to the Rose Bowl. Beautiful. Like, well, do you think, really?
Do these people have these conversations with everyone that walks through the door? Like the same exact conversation?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they work out what their story's going to be for that year. Because they have waves of people. I don't think, like, it's got to be like, what, June and fucking January or December?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're a hygienist, like every 6 months you're going to see that person. You're probably not going to see him at all at any other time.
Like, for 5 years after I was out of school, they're like, so how's school going? Like, I'm like, I'm not in school anymore. Like, fuck, I gotta update the script. I gotta update the goddamn dialogue now. I gotta say,
hey, I mean,
they cross out school and they write work. And that's
there's gotta be a lot of jobs like that. I mean, like, you know, you've talked about your time at the barber shop. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of thing where you just have to have that script of things prepared to go.
Like, my niece is 12 years old now, okay? And they've started asking me about her when she was like 5, but they haven't stopped asking the same questions, like, how's your little niece? I'm like, well, she's 12. So yeah, she has her own fucking thoughts and likes and personality, and that's really all I can give you. Like honestly, it's like the questions you were gonna ask me about, like, the 5-year-old, they just don't fucking apply now. So everybody asks about work, and it's always like, yeah, it sucks, I don't want to be there, I don't want to go, like, I hate work.
So you actually say that?
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, so I hear you. I'm working.
You're not supposed to do that.
Why?
That is not the appropriate way to answer those questions. Nobody wants to, like, hear someone start bitching.
I don't just fucking, like, oh, God, thank God you asked. Like, this bitch at work really has it out for me, and I'm so I've had it. I fucking had it. Okay, why? Open water, please. Open water. Yeah. So,
all he doing is he a fucking bitch.
No. I just say, they ask me about work. I say, I don't. You know, I'm just glad I'm not there now.
No, you're not supposed to do that kind of stuff. Because, you know, think about if you're on the opposite end of that. You're making this bullshit small talk.
Yeah.
You say something like that. You don't know what else to say. Oh, how's work? The last thing you want to do, like, the person complains back to you. Yeah. What's your next response supposed to be?
For me?
Like, what, am I supposed to, like, care now? Like, all of a sudden that your life sucks?
See, this is the whole problem. This is why you made up that fucking story. Because you give a shit what they have to come back with. Like, you're worried about that their palate might be empty based on your fucking response. I say work sucks, now they have nowhere to go. They're not going to talk to me about fucking work anymore. Do you see?
They're going to feel compelled to dig in and find out why work sucks.
Which one of the Dalmatians on the ceiling posters do you like? Like, they run out of shit eventually. The ceiling posters are the worst. Like, that's when you know you're at a fucking low-budget dentist. They don't have a TV.
I don't know. My dentist, his wallpaper is like a jungle scene.
Oh, well, we have the one wall at our dentist, which is just a serene lake. But they don't match up. They didn't match up the fucking wallpaper. So, like, since I was little, I've noticed that this fucking tree is just fucking crooked, and it irritates me. Like, it doesn't make me serene because they were fucking lazy.
Infuriated about the wallpaper.
They were lazy putting it up. They didn't match it up right. They ruined the fucking illusion. And I'm looking at this, like, it's obvious to me it's a fucking picture. I can't just whisk myself away to this fucking green land and where I'm not being poked with fucking metal in the molar and drilled into with no Novocaine because I was scared of needles as a kid. I don't know. I hate the dentist, and not for the reasons that everybody else said. I just hate the bullshit. I don't want to fucking talk to them. And the way I do it is I don't fucking sugarcoat shit. If they asked me, hey, what do you think about steak? I'd tell them, listen, I fucking love steak. That's what I would say. And then it would say, obviously, you have it stuck in your fucking teeth. Why don't you floss once in a while, you fuck? But they asked me about the same thing, so I'm going to tell them the same fucking answer.
Now, does your dentist, have they upgraded to having the TV in the area when you're getting the work done?
Oh, no. No, they don't even have, you know what they have? They have a waiting room filled with Lincoln Logs and fucking Sports Illustrated from like 6 months ago. and National Geographic magazine. And then when you get the work done, if you're lucky, you get the Crooked Tree Serene fucking wallpaper room, or you get the room with the fucking Dalmatian posters. And I think they still have a room with a Hang In There Baby fucking poster.
See, I have my dentist has the TV, so when you're getting the work done, you can watch TV. So I usually throw on sports or whatever. But 6 months ago, when I went for my previous cleaning, they had taken away they didn't take away the TV. They actually made TV worse. What they did was they changed the TV over to full time dental ads.
What?
It was fucking horrendous.
Like the marketing material,
think about getting teeth whitening, teeth bleaching, and so it was just rotating through these ads the entire time, where I had to watch ads on what to purchase at the. I'm like, what the? This actually infuriated me. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And the hygienist is like, and she has this voice, this nasal voice. She's like, I know. Ugh. Everyone's complaining. And I'm like, yeah, of course they're complaining. This is annoying.
Yeah, I mean, like, there were the pamphlets you could ignore where it's like Jane doesn't like to brush. Well, Jane's 60 and she has gingivitis. It's like you look at these rotten fucking teeth. And I remember that, what was that movie with the fucking plant that sang? Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there was the one picture where, like, they go from bad mouth to bad mouth, and one of them's, like, a fucking dog's mouth. Like, in this one pamphlet, every diseased mouth looked like a fucking, an old dog's mouth. Like, the fucking black gums, the little jaggedy, like, fucking lip membrane.
That's probably what they do for their material. They just go and get an old dog.
Yeah. Absolutely hideous. But they don't have the fucking TVs there. They have jazz. That's all they fucking. Apparently, the dentist is huge into fucking jazz. So we have to hear fucking like Redbone, fucking like, and not even like the Mr. Belvedere theme. Like just some fucking some fucking droning jazz bullshit. And and there's pictures of him with fucking guitars. Like, I don't know. Listen, I know it's your place of business, but I'd really just like to know you as a fucking dentist. I don't want to know what your hobbies are. Like, I get that you fucking ski, and I get that you like jazz. But just fucking clean my teeth, fill in a goddamn filling, and fucking let me go.
My dentist, he always talks to me about the same things, and they're things I have absolutely no interest in. As you know, and I don't know if the audience knows, I hate the New York Yankees. I just cannot stand that baseball team. I have nothing but anger towards them. And this guy talks to me about the Yankees incessantly every freaking time. So this time I'm there. Now he's doing the checkup. So I've gotten the cleaning. Now I'm getting the checkup afterwards. He's like, did you know I've read every book about the Yankees ever published?
Jesus.
He actually says it. And I look at him. I go, you've read every book about the Yankees ever published?
You're a hideous person.
Well, I'm number one, I'm thinking that's got to be impossible.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm trying to call him out on it because I'm annoyed by the statement.
See, this is why you have problems with the small talk shit. I don't know. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Shawnee Murphy. Please turn down whatever it is you're listening to. Who's this?
Well, this is Walter Sobchak. I would turn it down, but I'm at a grocery store listening to your show on F-Stream.
Whoa!
On my mobile device.
What are you purchasing?
Actually, I'm making an emergency run to get milk and diapers and bananas. So.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Hopefully for separate...
Emergency bananas.
Are they for separate purposes, or are you just using them to make one fucking foul concoction?
Well, no, they're going to make one Falcon concoction much later.
Yes, absolutely.
I get changed. But the idea was it had to be prepared for the morning. Anyway, a subject about being at the dentist or any doctor or any guy that's working on you, whatever, that y'all haven't touched on is the thing that occurs to me a lot that gets old is when they ask like professional like advice, like he's looking at your teeth or your ears or something. Hey, you build roads for a living. Hey, I'm thinking about doing my driveway.
Yeah.
What material? You know, it's like, this is not a 2 minute conversation. Actually, you know, I don't know.
See, that's
you should ship him an invoice afterwards.
The thing
he's billing you for his time. Bill him right back.
That's the other side of why I don't like talking about work, and I always tell them it sucks because they know that I do shit with computers, and every time I'm there, if I don't fucking completely shut it down right away, it always goes into. I have this one thing on my computer that it always does. Have you ever seen that? And like now I'm fucking debugging a computer I've never fucking seen. With some fucking just horrendous array of software that's been installed, and while I have my fucking mouth open with a goddamn hook and a mirror in it. Like, I tried to use the weather bug, and all of a sudden, my contacts are gone. Like, it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. Well, it's worse, you know, they're asking you an advanced question, you know, at a time when, how about you pay attention to what you're doing? You know, like, just because I don't want to walk out of here scarred. I mean, I already am because I'm trying to talk to you about things that really are none of your business or really mine right now. But just concentrate on what you're doing. You know, this is where malpractice happens. it's really sad. The worst about it is, like, you know, and I were kind of delving off of something. It's like family members that do that kind of crap.
Yeah.
It's like where my mom will go, hey, you know, I'm thinking about, we got this little road that goes out into she has this farm now. So we're building this road that goes out to this farm. You know, what do you think we should do with this? So I go, hey, you should lay this down. Do whatever. Well, the guys at work were saying, I said, well, why don't you ask the guys at work? They obviously know more about it than I do, even though I've got a degree in it and I do it for a living. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I hate that. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. That's the reason why I suppress all my work shit. You know, in addition to wanting to not have the small talk, they always think that I'm going to fix all their fucking terrible problems. It's just not the right fucking time. When you're about to tell me that I owe you fucking $400 for putting a fucking rotary brush on my goddamn incisor, you fucking whores.
Right. Right. And then, like, well, you know, you give them a short answer, and then they'll say, well, I tried that. And it didn't seem to work. I was like, well, what do you want from me, you know? It's a nightmare.
Well, I got to let you know, this is Walter Sobchak, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, well, I listened to Bug Zapper Radio, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And, all right, well, thank you, sir.
And I recommend it to anybody else who wants to go to hateustalk.tumblr.com and just fucking eavesdrop. Listen to Walter Sobchak and his buddies just talking about skydiving, fucking letting shit loose, having some goddamn beers in front of a fucking bug zapper as shit dies. And then, like, you hear the fucking insects, and then all of a sudden you hear a zap, and they're fucking dead. And the conversation doesn't miss a fucking beat. It's goddamn beautiful, and I love it.
Absolutely. And, hey, I'm leaving a teaser out because it's going to happen here pretty quick. I am getting my concealed handgun license, so... bring it on.
Great.
Consider that a warning, Ken.
No, we're on good terms, right, Walter Sobchak?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not enough that he's a mountain of a man. Now he's got weaponry.
Yeah, so he's an armed fucking, an armed monolith. Please, just let me know if I ever cross the line before you travel with a fucking concealed arm or firearm, whatever. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm confused here because I'm looking at a website that was put into the heroestalk.com chat room. Walter Sobchak, thank you very much. I really appreciate the call, buddy. Thank you. Casey has put in this fucking site. Are you're looking at this, right? Shawnee Murphy.
Yeah, look at this thing. This is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I can't tell if this is real or not. Like,
StarfleetDental.org for anyone who hasn't gotten it, anyone listening to the podcast.
StarfleetDental.org is... It's a Star Trek themed dentist office. This has to be fucking fake, right? This can't be real. Starfleet Dental is the interstellar voice for dentistry, dedicated to the advancement and leadership of a unified profession and to the promotion of optimal oral health. Can you imagine the fucking terrible small talk that goes on in this fucking place? They come in.
You got to figure, though, the people that are going there are probably loving the small talk that they're having here.
What if it's, like, the only dentist in your plan? Like,
You must go to Starfleet. That's the no choice.
Here's the deal. You can go right out of your fucking pocket, or you can go to Starfleet Dental. That's your plan. Holy shit. You have to give the Spock sign every time you walk in, or they won't fucking treat you. This can't be fucking real. Are you getting the sense that this is just a big joke, or because I'm trying to find like some kind of degree of like seriousness, but like it's all ridiculous.
Do you see like the membership page?
Oh, there's membership.
Like, there's a dental hygienist list. It's Commander.
Oh my God. Everybody's got a fucking Fox, rank.
Commander Fox Spirit Vader Sword. Commander Rick Fireshade. I mean, these are fucking terrible.
Oh my God. How much do you hate your job as a receptionist if you have to be referred to as Cadet Dice Sharp? Like, not that, Mrs. Like, or Mr. You're the cadet. Like, you're doing a lot of shit. You're receiving every customer, and you're just a fucking cadet. Everybody has a fucking military rank. And you're the first line of fucking defense with these terrible fucking people. And the balls on this fucking dentist to probably walk in there with a fucking plexiglass clipboard with a fucking, like, a red LED around the goddamn edge saying, Cadet, who do we have next?
Referring to himself as the fucking admiral.
And he has to be, Admiral Garth. Admiral Garth, of course it's a guy named fucking Garth. No, they don't have a YouTube channel. Do they really?
I don't believe it. Casey's got to be lying. This is bullshit.
Yeah, this is definitely shit.
What I'm wondering, okay, so at your place of employment, do you have titles that kind of, I mean, I think every place does, where you have a title that goes kind of with like your experience level and how long you've been there.
Sure.
So at my job, it's like we have, you know, like a technician and then senior level technician. And then when you get into management.
Hey, I just made AVP. I made vice president. Yeah. You know, it's like the typical shit. Like you could tell.
I made lieutenant commander.
Yeah, like you could tell somebody when you get promoted what you've been promoted to and they have a general idea. When the receptionist says, guess what? I did some studying and I made it up to ensign. I am now ensign Dice Sharp. No more phones for me. What the fuck does that mean? Oh, I'm a periodontist consultant. But my boss just loves Star Trek. Holy shit.
So now you gotta wonder, like, do the people that work there automatically, like, would you even apply if you didn't like Star Trek? Or is this like, listen, I really need a job.
It's a tough economy, dude.
I mean, do they have to dress up? Do they have to dress up? Like,
how do you go to the interview for this place?
You go there wearing your Starfleet Command uniform.
I guarantee you, you go and interview for this place. You come in with a fucking a sci-fi convention costume, wearing what, like the fucking Spock outfit. I like, by the way, that I'm going to Spock every time I need to reference a character. That's how little I give a shit or know about Star Trek. Oh my God. So it's legit. Apparently, there's proof on the about page. Wow, he really does have this is a real doctor. And he really just does love Star Trek. Wow, this is fucking
The Starfleet
hideous.
Dental Seal of Recognition is a symbol of products that are of benefit to the oral health of consumers.
Wow.
This is just fucking ridiculous.
This is seriously blowing my fucking mind. Starfleetdental.org. Casey, I got to thank you for this, for just making me lose even more fucking faith in humanity, that people like this fucking form a business, and not only that, attract, how many employees? What, 40? 30?
They have quite a few, so they
there's
gotta
a page full
a
of names.
Good business.
This guy has made it acceptable for at least 39 people to accept a Star Trek rank as their fucking job title.
Well, you gotta figure though, you gotta do dental jobs. How many people are working there?
Let's say fucking 40.
Really? Wow.
I mean, look at the membership page.
No, I'm saying at your dentist.
Oh, at mine, there's like seven, maybe.
Yeah, that's probably about what works at my dentist's office. You have a couple hygienists, you have the dentist. Yeah. So this company is blowing the fuck up. This place
puts
all other dentist offices to shame.
Oh, no. I clicked on a fucking picture that Casey put in here. This is the fucking waiting room.
Is that a juice bar they got there? I might have to go to this place.
No, because they have a little, it's like a futuristic lighting thing, And then there's like, a, I guess, what is supposed to be a portal to space where it's just a black ceiling with white spots painted on it. Like,
it's like those glow in the dark, those glow in the dark stars that hippies used to have in their rooms with the black lights.
Yeah. No, this isn't fuck. This is real. This is absolutely real. I want to know the people who have left this place for another job. How fucking just hard that interview must have been to work at the next place.
What I'm wondering.
So you were an admiral.
When you do your resume.
Tell me about it.
I gotta put my title.
Yeah.
Specialty ensign. So you were an ensign at your last job.
Yeah. Responsibilities include dusting the star sky and cleaning the laser lights in the waiting room. What the fuck? I don't know.
That's the kind of job that once you're in.
Oh,
you
and you know what? They have a TV there. You know they're not going to be playing dental ads. They're going to be playing nothing but fucking Star Trek. You know what? I got to say, this guy is a fucking genius. He's a fucking genius. You know what? He probably made it as like a regular dentist office. And they fucking Comic-Con probably came into town one year. Or something, and he noticed that there are a lot of slovenly people with shitty teeth, and he's like, you know what, I'll just make a fucking Star Trek dentist office, and it appears to be working. As you said, you know, the number of employees is indicating the fucking size of this dude's business.
Well, I'm actually reading the reviews that Casey posted.
Oh, no.
InsiderPages.com, some long number, I can't even read it, whatever. Okay. But wonderful dentist, but difficult office manager. I'm thinking... So, what was the title of the office manager? Cadet?
Yeah.
Cadet Dice Sharp needs not getting a promotion up to ensign.
Well, he can't read the fucking the medical surveys with the fucking LeVar Burton glasses on. So it's really difficult for him to understand what each patient needs. I don't know. This is absolutely shitty. I honestly don't want to fucking be a part of a world where this is like accepted.
You're gonna end it all now. This is it.
I want a wall.
End it right on air. Just go grab Walter Sobchak's concealed weapon. I might have to
fly him out here. Like we'll go there and I'll just take one look at it and realize like I've lived enough. I don't get it. I just don't fucking get it. I can't. It's bewildering to me. And if this was your own. If this is your only dentist, this is what you have to fucking put up with. I bet you the guy doesn't even fucking respond unless you speak in fucking references.
They're in San Francisco, so I think there's probably enough other dentists around.
Oh, but, I thought you were going to say enough clientele. People, they probably love
it. Oh, no, I'm sure. I'm reading this. I mean, they have several offices. This place is the best business model for a dentistry ever, apparently.
Jesus Christ.
The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life, but I guess it brings in clients.
Well, I can't wait until, you know, he's been sitting on this for a while, but Steve the LARPer is actually opening up a LARP dentist office where all the little metal hooks are shaped like swords.
And everyone's dressed like an orc.
Yes, but they're made out of plastic. And nobody actually gets paid. So it's true to the LARPing game. I don't know. Why don't we take a fucking break here? It's the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
Hi, this is DJ New Style, host of the DJ New Style Show, and I've got something to tell you about. One place you can go to keep tabs on everything that's going on with this fine internet radio show, my Facebook fan page. Go to facebook.com/the DJ New Style Show. New videos, pictures, thoughts, questions, go there, comment. I will comment back. I will talk to you. I will bring myself down from my tower to your lowly level, address you, and treat you as my equal, even though that's impossible. Facebook.com/the DJ New Style Show. You go there, you click like, and your friends know that you have taste and class, and you like funny shit. Facebook.com/the DJ New Style Show.
The DJ New Style Show.
Hi everyone, this is DJ New Style, host of the DJ New Style Show, inviting you to check out the Hear Us Talk forums, the official message board of HearUsTalk.com. Discuss show topics, comment on previous episodes, talk to hosts, talk to fans, or peruse some of the bizarre images and video clips posted in our We Find Things on the Internet section. Do you like video games? What about sports? Are you into MMA? Do you like crappy music? Do you like broads? Wait, oh, of course not, but are you sexually attracted to women? Wait, still no? Okay, well, maybe you should pass the link on to a friend. HearUsTalk.com/forum. What I'm saying in a nutshell is that there's something for everyone in the Hear Us Talk forums. Go to HearUsTalk.com/forum, and if it's not there, and it should be, post it. HearUsTalk.com/forum.
Yeah. Yo, what's up? It's your boy Sony from 10th and Diamond. You listening to the DJ New Style Show. You know what I mean?
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. God, I'm just in such a good mood now, listening to Sony from 10th and Diamond. Kind of the same mood I have whenever I decide to communicate online. You know, throw the old cam on, start typing to some motherfuckers from anywhere. You know what I use, Shawnee Murphy?
You gotta be using ICU too.
You're goddamn fucking right, you son of a bitch bastard. ICU too! It's the best way to chat face-to-face from any place. Wherever the fuck you or they might be from, ICU 2 is the way to go. Go to ICU2.com and you're going to connect with thousands of people fucking like instantly. Okay? And unlike some of the other services that like may just forget that like you're a valid person and they may disallow you from renewing your subscription to PalTalk, and they may ask you to show your credit card to some random representative of PalTalk. ICU2 isn't going to do that. They know that asking you to show a credit card to a cam is a fucking major security loophole. They know how to do things professionally at ICU2.com, and they're not going to fuck you over, okay? You know what I'm talking about, Sean Murphy?
They are a top-notch firm.
They are.
They will not fuck you over. That is their new slogan, actually.
Their product is such that...
Their mission statement is, they will not fuck you over.
They will not fuck you over, and PalTalk sucks cocks. That's actually, it's in their mission statement. That's what they say. download it to your Windows PC. I have a quote. No, I can't. I can't fucking say the quote. I'm sorry. I heard from someone... that as soon as the autistic Mac programmer gets back to programming, there will be a Mac version. I don't know who said this to me. Someone did. So I have sources that are saying that a Mac version is coming soon. And soon, the people that love Mac, they love Mac OS, they'll be running with the 2009 People's Choice Award winner for Internet Communication. That's ICU2.com. Don't fuck. Why fuck around? Why would you, as a fucking human, why are you going to be a jerk off and not use ICU2? ICU2 is the, by the way, the de facto video chat software of Starfleet Dentistry. Whatever it is. I can't fuck. You know, I saw a couple things today. I was going to say I saw something that kind of irritated me. The first, being what I'm going to talk about, but the latest, obviously, Starbase Dental or whatever the fuck it is, Starfleet. I don't know. But every now and then, when you live in a small town, you'll see a sign for some kind of a fundraiser where they're going to maybe bake a cake or something. Like, they'll bake a bake sale or cookies or some shit. But then there's the other type that I see from time to time where they advertise a beefsteak dinner. I can't tell. Like, to me... beefsteak is not the way to fucking do this. I see the sign, and I instantly think, that's got to be one shitty piece of fucking meat. Like, first of all, it's put on by a fucking firehouse.
It's always a firehouse or a American Legion or the Elks.
I think it's hurting their cause that they have to qualify it as fucking beef. Like, you're going to see some cut of meat and say, hey, I'm all for charity, but what is this? So they have to say fucking beefsteak. To me, it's fucking terrible. Because now I see,
typically when I see beefsteak, it reminds me of like an Asian who's learning English. Like they think that, well, you can't just say steak, you have to qualify what it is. So it's just got to be like some fucking terrible, like just metal fucking metally tasting frozen steak. And I think when you specify beefsteak, it's more like you don't picture the meal. You picture like how it's prepared and by whom. So you hear beefsteak, I picture some fucking like just porno mustached fucking like mechanic handed person. Like the permanently black palms.
Now you do know that beefsteak is a special way of preparing the steak, right?
I've never been to a fucking beefsteak dinner because it might be. Have you been to one?
I haven't been, but I know what a beefsteak is because I originally had the same reaction that you're having right now to the like the thought and the concept.
Really?
Of beefsteak. And I'm like, what? Because someone I know, I don't remember who it was, but someone was talking about how much they love beefsteak dinners, and it sounds awful. It sounds horrifying. It sounds like you're making dog meat or something along those lines. But they explained what it actually is, and the truth is, it actually sounds really delicious.
Well, what is it?
It's just like they take cuts of meat and they just like cook it in butter and they just keep feeding it to you.
But like,
so basically it's just like tender meat constantly being served to you.
But just call it fucking steak. I mean, there's a different, like, you're going to get a lot more fucking money.
Of broiled steak and beer. Nothing sounds better than this.
Oh wait, describe it again.
All right. It's a celebratory dinner.
Yeah.
Involving the consumption of enormous quantities of broiled steak and beer.
Okay, that sounds fucking good.
Then, let's see, where does it talk about? All right.
They need to work on the fucking name. Like, that small sentence should be on all the fucking vinyl posters that they hang up along the side of the roads.
Just nonstop broiled steak and beer. But I think it's like, the steak is cooked in butter. So,
call it beer really butter steak. It'll be fucking fantastic. Beef steak, I picture somebody with a fucking fireman hat on. Just like with suspenders just regular clothes.
Just ladling beef into a some sort of cauldron.
Like you know when you were in Little League, at the end of the season, you'd have like a fucking hot dog and hamburger party. And like somebody's dad is making the fucking hamburgers. And it's like never a good fucking meal. Because it's just like, it's just some dude doing it. Like, he doesn't cook, okay? And that's what I picture, like, somebody's fucking dad who has, like, a fucking labor-intensive job just giving it up for an hour to fucking just throw meat on flames. And
then I'm definitely picturing a guy with a mustache cooking this. Like, what's the guy, Magnum P.I.?
Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck. He's got a Tom Selleck mustache
like
going
on. A human Mario. You know, yeah. Or more like a Mario Luigi. Slaughter. No, more like a, no, no, not Mario. Like a Luigi, like a tall head with a fucking bushy mustache. Who, how many? Who, what do we got? What do we need? They're just constantly yelling for how much shit he has to put on the fire. But if they just said fucking steak or butter beer steak, and you see a sign for it, you're going to picture like the last decent steak you've eaten. And you're going to associate it with that experience rather than the fucking greasy wop who's just fucking, I'm just flipping it. I'm just flipping it on the fucking flames. And you'll associate it with the meal and the taste, and you'll be more likely to fucking want to go in and have some. It's the same reason why Outback gets away with serving just basically shit fucking steak. And being very successful. They say they're a steakhouse. You hear steak. You never hear beef steak fucking Outback. But if they had that type of steak on their menu, it'd be fucking fantastic, and I would definitely try it.
I'm actually reading an article about beefsteak dinners. And the title of the article, now this is in the New York Times. It's called Gluttonous Right Survives Without Silverware. So basically,
there's no fucking silverware?
Basically, they just serve you slices of beef tenderloin and beer, and waiters just keep bringing you meat.
Yeah.
And this sounds fantastic, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
And they said there's 350 people at a VFW and of all places in New Jersey.
That sounds horrible to me.
Because there's 350 people, or you just don't like the idea of
300
the food?
People, VFW, New Jersey. Sounds fucking hideous to me. The idea of, like, all this food, great. Like, I picture I have this fucking, like, this whole side of a table where I can stretch out, but it's really just going to be picnic tables. And the caliber of person that's going to be by you indulging in this fucking, the smorgasbord of a fucking cheap meat. I know I said that word wrong. I had to have.
Smorgasbord? I think it's smorgasbord.
I don't fucking know what it is. Anyway.
Did you say Borg?
I wanted to say Borg, but I think I said Borg. You know why?
You're flipping back into the Starfleet shit.
That's what it is. That's what they eat at lunch. You can't work for that dental office without eating from the smorgasbord. It's, you know what? I'm curious now. The next fucking beefsteak dinner, I might have to go.
No, we are definitely there.
You're
going to
go.
We're there. We're there, man. We're going to be there. And just like when we talked about how we were going to film our drive-in, we're going to talk about how we're going to film our dinner at the beefsteak.
That's not happening anymore. I realized it. It's not going to – but anyway.
You realize it's not going to happen? Because, I mean, no. I got to tell you, I drove in your car with you for about 50 minutes.
Yeah, you did. Hold on. Tread lightly, motherfucker. What did I do for you? I gave up my whole Saturday.
Your whole Saturday.
I gave up my whole Saturday to fix your fucking tire while you sat there like a damsel in fucking distress with your fix-a-flat. I fucking made the world right.
I got to tell you, you are one angry motherfucker behind the wheel.
People need to know what to do.
I know you've been talking about it on the show, but I just want to go on record saying that you are dead serious about how angry you are while driving. I mean, like things like
I haven't really, noticed.
Really, wait, there isn't much to be angry about. Like some guy happened to pull out like maybe 3 feet too far trying to get onto a highway.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, He had a Pennsylvania plate.
He wasn't actually impeding your progress in any way.
Yeah, but he was
and
from
you
Pennsylvania.
Actually turned around. You turned around while driving. You stopped paying attention to the road. You turned around. And you yelled at him. You pointed and you yelled, and then very calmly turned around and started driving again.
I'm saying, listen, it's not my fault that he's from fucking the Keystone State.
Just saying that all that rage is going to come back to you one day.
Maybe I should drown it in a fucking beefsteak dinner then.
It's drowning a motherfucking beefsteak dinner.
We got to find out when the next one is and bring the fucking camera. And I need to see just how fucking horrific it is. I picture the picnic tables and people with strollers and shit. And, like, you know, like people just fucking in their work clothes, you know, just eating it on the way to their job.
Oh, we just missed one.
What?
Oh, there was just one October 2nd.
There'll be more. They have them constantly. I remember seeing that. I think I saw one was like a pepper steak. Like that was a little bit better. I'm like, oh, pepper, that sounds pretty. But it still made me think of like you can't just don't add to this the word steak. Just put steak.
But if they just said steak dinner, it wouldn't say what it is. You need another name for it.
No,
it's not a steak dinner.
What are you eating? Steak.
But it's different.
Why? Seasoning.
Because they're putting it in butter and they're just delivering massive amounts of food to you. There's something different about it. You got to clarify it.
You know, it kind of reminded me of something here. My vision of this place. I was listening to our buddy O. Joey's brand new show called Not the Show. You can go if you want to listen. It's nottheshow.com. It's their first episode, and Joey's not one who like talks. He's like a fucking one as a black person who used to call the show would say one silent Bob ass nigga, and he's decided to be part of a podcast where he is half of the talk. And I got to say, first episode out, really not bad, because they mentioned one thing that kind of struck a chord. And you heard this part where they were talking about taking their kids to restaurants and how they have to they feel they should tip more because when they're done eating, they look below their kids like a child seat or the booster seat or whatever. And there's just a fucking mountain of food and they feel like terribly like embarrassed, almost like they're putting a burden on the waitress. And I don't really think that's I think of it like a little bit differently. Granted, I don't have a kid, but I've eaten when there are children there. And it's true, there's just a pile of fucking shit. But I think that's like that's kind of like an opportunity for you.
I think so. I think you know you know, we've talked before about the horrors of having children and what you have to deal with, and I know I've gotten some criticism for my take on it, but
yeah.
You got to figure. I realize it's not easy. I'm never pretending that it is, but you might as well start taking advantage of some of the hidden benefits that you can gather out of this.
Absolutely.
So
I mean, you see the mountain of just filth and mess. People feel embarrassment and they feel like, oh, I'm really making it hard for this person, but really, like, you should capitalize on it.
Well, now you can get away with virtually anything you want and blame it completely on the kid.
Yeah. No one's – I mean, they're going to hate the kid, but they're not going to, like, be angry at the kid. They're going to hate that they have to clean it up, but they're going to partially understand that why it's there. So, like, if I have a child and there's just tons of food under the table and underneath the thing, like, to me, it would be like a bit of a stress relief – just to take my fucking plate and just scrape it on the goddamn floor under the table.
Like you finish the meal. Like, you see, I mean, how many times you got to figure you go out, the meal's not that great, you don't finish the whole thing.
I would purposely just not eat it.
Just dump it right on the freaking
floor.
Just
take the entire plate. I'm sure at that point, if it's not chewed into or cut into pieces, they might figure out who did it. But you could blame it on the kid. Like, he got a hold of my plate and scraped all of the uneaten food onto the ground. Into a big pile that you'll have to clean up.
We're gonna borrow a kid for a beefsteak dinner.
And yes, exactly. And I hope 20% is good enough. Like, do you tip a charity dinner? Do you do that?
I don't think you tip a charity dinner. I think it's just like the cost of getting in is the whole point.
Well, that's it. I guess you pay to get in, and then what? You have fucking full license to just throw shit everywhere.
Throw meat.
Because at like a restaurant with a kid, it's acceptable that there's going to be shit on the floor. So if you just bring a kid to a beefsteak dinner and you just fucking have him unload shit all over the fucking floor and maybe you throw a little bit of fucking beefsteak on the ground too, well, they can't say anything to you because he's a kid. Hey, he's just a kid.
Hey, what?
Yeah, he didn't like the fucking beefsteak. He's actually pissed off you didn't just call it steak on the road sign. He's furious with you. But I don't know. I mean, you could get away with a ton of shit.
Like they were showing some shame. They were eliciting shame on the show.
Yeah, I mean,
and I think what they need to know is that they should be taking advantage of the circumstances that have been afforded to them. Yeah. And instead of showing shame, they should just be reveling in it.
I mean, it's fucking unspeakably hard to raise a kid. And do it well. And there are people that don't do it well, but I think...
I mean, what percentage of parents do you think actually do it well? Like wow. a tenth of a percent?
You know what? I'm gonna try and make the parents I know that do a good job feel good by saying that 95% of all parents are horrible.
Are horrible? Okay. I thought you were gonna say 95% do well.
No.
I was just gonna get infuriated
and I'm going to say everyone that I personally know that has a kid, they're doing a fucking fantastic job. I don't know anybody that has a kid that is doing a fucking bad job. I see people on TV that I have no fucking knowledge of. I see people at the mall I have no fucking knowledge of. At Best Buy, I saw this lady with a kid in a goddamn snow dog harness running down the fucking cell phone aisle. Like it's the fucking Iditarod because she wants to get the new iPhone 4. Just has the kid in a fucking harness. With just a little clip leash. I know that shit happened when I was a kid. I know it did because I saw it, but it was kind of rare. I've seen this more and more lately.
See, I didn't see any harnesses when I was a kid. Like that was like I remember being maybe like 12
well, you
the
know
first
what?
Time I saw a kid in a harness.
I don't think it was like a harness back then. I really think it was like a modified phone cord because like that was when they had the really long coiled phone cords, and I remember them being curly, and I think they just had like a little fucking dog chain hook that they clipped to like a belt loop or something. I don't know. To me, I just don't know. I don't know what the fuck. Like, I can't. I don't know. I don't have the perspective. Casey's actually typing a logical fucking excuse for the kid leash. When she's holding a baby, how the fuck is she going to manage a toddler that's running around? Well, okay, you answered that. But this one fucking lady's just peering at a fucking phone while her kid is just running all over the fucking
roaming
place.
Roaming within a certain radius.
Until she goes full speed and the fucking thing reaches critical tension and just pulls the kid back.
See, if I'm that kid, I'm just going to run around a pole or something until it ties it up.
Yeah, and then you fucking chug it. Like my dog. My dog will do that. He'll go to piss on a fucking mailbox. And then I'll tell him to walk the other way, but he's already looped himself around it. Now I got to fucking untangle him.
And they never listen to you. You're trying to push them the right direction, and they always run the wrong direction.
I look at some of the things that parents do now, and it's kind of like, to me, it just doesn't go with how we were raised. You know.
Well, I think you and I were raised significantly differently.
Well, let me ask you something here. You go to a department store, and you're a kid. Okay, you're with your parents, and you find the one thing that keeps your attention, so they kind of keep you by that thing because they don't want to be fucking disrupted or whatever. This is when I'm a kid. After a while, they want to leave. They say, we're going to go. We're going to go. We're leaving. Three times, they fucking go.
Yeah, my parents went too. They were fucking gone.
Now it's a goddamn crime if you do that.
Oh, yeah, you go to jail, you do that. I mean, my parents literally, I remember one time, I was completely... like, they were gone. You know? Like, I remember, like, I'm sure you ran into this. So you're living the same life I am on this front. So you'll understand.
Yeah.
There'd be times you'd be, you know, whatever had caught your attention, you know, whether it was playing inside the coat rack, you know, climbing inside there or whatever you were doing. And then you realize they're not in the aisle anymore.
Yes.
But you very quickly, as a kid, learn that usually that probably means they're just in the next aisle.
Yeah.
So you run to the next aisle and you catch up and you're there. There was one time I ran like six consecutive aisles.
Nowhere to be seen.
No one to be found.
Yeah.
I had to, you know what? I look at this and say, you know what? I've always been pretty self-sufficient even when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I managed to make my way to the management desk.
What?
Yeah. 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 Managed to make my way and get them paged.
Wow. See, I was embarrassed.
I don't know. You're just forget it. They're done. They're lost forever.
No, I would just go and look for them. And once my dad had this certain type of jacket. And so I looked all over the store and I saw somebody obviously not facing me. And I said, Dad. And I pulled on his jacket. And this guy who couldn't have been more opposite from my dad. Like if he were black, he would have been more opposite. But this guy had like a fucking mountain man beard. He basically looked like VA Messenger. He turned around and just looked at me so fucking disgusted that I was tugging on his jacket. Not like, are you lost? Where is your parent? Nothing. Just fucking disgusted and moved away. So I was fucking just wrought with fear. I'm like, oh my God, I've been lost. And just whenever I hit that point, that's when my parents would come in and say, see, I told you we were leaving. And then I remember, okay, maybe they say they're going to fucking go. I better fucking follow. But then there'd be other times where I would hide in things, like the fucking racks of clothes, and they
I
just wouldn't
love hiding the racks of clothes.
It was like when you have to go and look at clothes, it's fucking, it's just never ending. Forget, like, even if I go with Amanda and she's looking at fucking clothes, it's still never ending. I fight the urge to just go in the rack of clothes and just sit Indian style, and fucking sing to myself.
I remember having to go to the store. And it was the most horrible experience.
Yeah.
When my mom would drag me, you know, like doing like ladies' clothes shopping. I can't imagine. Oh, that is child abuse right there. Making your kid sit through that shit while you do it, and then not letting them, you know, climb inside the clothing rack, because that's about all you can do for entertainment.
Well, again, you think about it. What are they gonna do? Not buy clothes? You know, like they have to, but.
Now, I remember online shopping, and they probably get away with that.
At some point, when I was like five, I remember like just knowing the fucking layout of the mall. Like I was there a lot. Okay, my mom was a stay at home mom, so I guess she would just go to the fucking mall and bring us. Like the dressing room area just became like your own fucking cubicle. You would take the little sizing discs off the fucking hangers and build shit with. Like, you had to find shit to do. And it was really fucking terrible. Just really, really fucking. I don't know. For me, as a kid, it was boring as fuck.
It was
boring. But, again, what's my mom gonna do? What the fuck? Honestly, what is she gonna do? She's either gonna leave me with some fucking stranger who's gonna diddle my fucking weenus and not tell anybody until I have to fucking break down in tears 20 years later. Sorry to touch my penis. Or they just take me to fucking Bamberger's or whatever store was around then and force me to look at the fucking clothes.
See, you know what? I think you had at least, you know, you got to go to the mall. My mother was the really the cheapest human being ever.
Yeah.
So, like, the stores I got to go to were, like, James Way.
Oh, listen.
And Bradley's.
They had a toy section, though.
See, I wasn't. I always had to be like there. I couldn't like you know just go and you know. You know what? I never got to like the prize portion of the trip.
Where you
get something for like being a good kid.
You know
like,
what? Going to James.
You know, like for a lot of parents, like hey, if you're good, I'll let you get a toy. You hear that a lot. You know, hey, I know this is gonna be miserable for you. So as a parent, you realize this is gonna be a miserable trip.
Yep.
For the kid, the kid's gonna hate it. So they bribe the kid. You know, if you're good. You'll get a toy, and kids usually you know they love that idea of getting that toy, and they'll be good. Yep. Maybe not all the time, but probably a good portion of the time you can bribe the kid. I never got the bribe. I would just get like the abuse if I wasn't. So I was always good in the store because I would just get completely totally abused by my parents if I wasn't. So it was really miserable. So I didn't get the bribe toy.
Yeah.
I didn't get to like you know climb in the clothing rack. I didn't get to do it. Oh man!
You had to look at the fucking the flowered blouses.
And hours upon hours of shitty cheap merchandise from some like. Subpar department store.
You're wrong there because here's how it would break down. My mom said we're gonna go shopping, and then the dread sets in. Somehow a 5-year-old could experience dread, and that's where I was at when we pulled into a store like James Ware, Bradley's. I knew okay, they have a toy section. I will go and I will look at the toy, and it's cool for me to just be in this fucking aisle alone at 5 years old. And just look at all the shit I'm not gonna get, but just look at it and keep my mind fucking occupied. And then my mom comes back, I pull the shit like, I don't wanna go, can I have this, can I have this? And like, you know, no, you can't, it's maybe for Christmas, maybe for fucking Christmas or whatever, or your birthday. And then I would go and we'd be taken to another store. And then, oh no, it's fucking, I'm trying to think of all these stores from the, like, it's the casual corner. They don't have that. That's all women's clothes. There's nothing for me here. There's not one fucking thing that would interest me. Now, this is something I have to endure. But for you, James Way, any fucking store, it doesn't matter. It was always a punishment.
It was horrific. Actually, you know what? There was one portion
barn.
Of James Way.
Jesus
this
Christ.
One portion of James Way was actually okay. They had the sit-down spy hunter.
Oh, really? Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So, like,
they had arcade games and fucking bubblegum machines.
The one privilege I would get was while she was online to pay, which was always like you know a ridiculously long line because they have two people staffed at James Way.
Yeah.
But I was able to sometimes go and play the sit down spy hunter game.
Nice.
And that was about the so basically like 7 hours of
that was your toy. That was your bribe.
For a quarter. So I got a quarter out of 7 hours of total punishment.
The thing about that was like the impulse buy shit like the bubblegum fucking blob and shit like my mom would give me the quarter for that but then at some point in my childhood it became 50 cents and then it was no
that
deal
was done.
There
done.
Was no
Too
fucking
much.
Deal like
inflation knocked you right out
yeah the fucking the Teamsters or whatever that managed that shitty fucking surprise machine like with the little glass dome oh, not glass the clear plastic domes where they showed you like a fucking Rolex on the goddamn backboard, but you always got like the spider ring. You always wanted one of those fucking I'm gonna get the machine gun water gun out of this, and you always get like a fucking a Chinese finger trap. I know I said that for the fucking dentist thing, but it was always something fucking disappointing. And you may do the worst is when you'd get a sticker. You would get a fucking sticker for a goddamn quarter.
I always got like the shitty plastic ring.
Yeah. That's the worst, and the one that doesn't resize, like it's joined, so
it would have the plastic would bend, so you could stretch it apart, and all it would do is jab into your finger and cause you immense pain, but you'd wear it anyway.
Yeah, you would, because I mean that was your positive reinforcement for enduring an hour of fucking shopping.
Oh, I remember. It was just such punishment.
The sticky hands and the wacky wall walker. For some reason, the gummy, fucking blobby, sticky shit was always the fucking coolest until I got it stuck in the rug and forgot about it. And now the rug is ruined forever. Until you replace the entire carpet, we have a ruined part that has to have a fucking tablecloth.
You have a spider just jammed into the rug for the rest of eternity.
The absolute worst. Oh, fuck it. Just memories. Absolute memories. Fucking memories.
Yeah, man. I try to forget my childhood as much as possible, really? Quite honestly. Yeah.
I had a pretty good childhood. Like, me and my dad would go and... Like, being with my dad was cool, because, like, we would do fucking, like, guy shit. You know, being with my mom, had its moments, you know? But, like, mostly, sometimes, like, it was, like, fucking shopping for clothes, and I always hated that. But my dad would take me out into the woods, and we would, like, shoot fucking guns, and, like, he would show me, like animal tracks and shit. Like, I was in some kind of a junior fucking tracker's school. Like, I would be able to, this is where the deer lay down. You see that? That's a tree stand. That's somebody's tree stand. That's been there for 10 years. I've never seen somebody in it. Like, the whole story, everything, walking through the fucking trails, all that, fucking great. And I remember one time we were in the woods, I had to piss. I had to, the piss of a lifetime had to happen. And my dad looked at me like, just go to the tree. Go pee behind the tree. And it, like, unlocked. I'm like, I could just pee behind this tree. I could just go behind the tree and urinate now. I could never have to worry about having to piss because there's trees everywhere. So I took this and I kept it in my head now, because, like, I would stop playing outside, run in, piss, and come back out and play, but I would have missed so much stuff, because the for a kid, you know, time goes forever, and if you miss, like, fucking a minute, that's like missing a fucking entire week's worth of the dumb shit that you were playing. And so now that I know I can piss outside, I've applied this knowledge to my parents' front yard, which is part of a quarter acre in a decent neighborhood. So they have.
It's on a pretty busy street too.
It should be a double yellow street. Basically.
Yeah, it really should be.
There is constant cars going by. It's not traffic, but there's a steady flow of cars.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see a car every couple of minutes at the very least on that street.
Yeah, so I would stop playing and piss on trees in my parents' fucking front yard. Like, I'm not in the woods. I'm just in a front yard that's been landscaped with these trees to look this way. And eventually, relative to where I was playing, the optimal tree was this evergreen, like, directly in the front of the property. And it happened that this evergreen has been dying for like 20 years. Like,
ever since.
So when you're in front of an evergreen, like, you're not exactly camouflaged. It's like a fucking Venetian blind. Like, you can see the outline of a person. And if someone's standing in front of a fucking tree and not moving, and their arms are at their fucking waist, what are they doing? One day, I just remember that they before I went out to play, they had to sit me down and have a fucking talk. And instead of, like, saying, you know, you shouldn't, you can pee when you're in the woods, but, like, you don't do it in our front yard where, like, all the neighbors can fucking see. They just let me know how disgusting they thought I was. They took the opportunity to have this life lesson become a "here's how disgusting you are" speech.
Now, did you throw your dad under the bus?
No, because he's the one telling me I'm fucking gross. And if
did you question?
Are you fucking nuts? Do you think, like, this isn't a fucking court of law? Like, I don't get a free. Fuck, I don't get an opportunity to say my piece and address the fucking jury. These are my parents telling me I'm a disgusting, filthy fucking pig for pissing on their, as he used to say, our ornamentals.
Ornamentals?
You're urinating on our ornamentals. Like, he wanted to really hammer it home. He wanted to hammer it home that these were things that were put in the ground to make the fucking property look good. They didn't just grow there. They were ornamentals. So I'm guessing, obviously, either a neighbor or a car drove by or something.
There's a kid peeing in the woods or peeing in the front lawn.
And, you know, my parents, they know people in the neighborhood. So somebody probably made a call and said, hey, you know, your kid's pissing like directly into the road practically. Like, it 3 feet behind the tree is the road. That's how close I am. Just no fucking regard for anybody. Just pissing all over the street. And
because, well, you know, if you get taught something as a kid, you just think it's fair game. Because, you know, it's funny because I have a very similar story, except I didn't have the luxury of actually being taught by my dad. I ended up getting taught by some kids that lived in the neighborhood.
Ah, nice.
So, you know, I don't know about how it was for you when you were a kid, but I used to always play in the woods. I thought the woods were the greatest place to hang out and play.
Absolutely.
And I even went so far. So I had these friends come over, and I'm like, I got to go in the house and pee. And they're like, why do that? Just pee here. And at first, it was a little off-putting for me because, you know, you're just being told by someone just let loose and pee. And
I mean, like, your whole existence, you've always pissed into, you know, a private room.
Yeah.
Maybe the lights are on. The seat is up. There's toilet paper right nearby in case you make a mistake. But now you're outside.
Now I'm outside, and I don't remember exactly how it shook out, but eventually they convinced me that it was okay. I don't know if they had to demonstrate, just, hey, I'm doing it, you know. But,
yeah, exactly.
I eventually broke down and did it. So, you know, this became commonplace. Just in the woods, you just go and let loose. And at some point, I was a pretty industrious kid. I started mapping my woods.
Okay.
I was making, like, I had my little scrapbook, and I was drawing
like
trail
the
maps.
This is probably,
you know, combined, because my grandfather lived right next door, so I'd go play in those woods also. But we're probably talking about like a combined half acre. And I had this elaborate, you know, cartography going on of this giant map system. But in the one area, I labeled it the bathroom. So I labeled the spot because that's, you know, you realize, you know, you don't want to just have people pissing willy-nilly in the woods. You want to
have
a nice neat area for people to let loose.
Like a nice evergreen right by the road.
Yeah, if I had the evergreen, I would have labeled that bathroom. Yes. So I had that particular part labeled bathroom.
Yeah.
And then my parents are really nosy motherfuckers. You know, I'm realizing this now. Like, I have a lot of reasons to be angry with my parents, but now I'm realizing how nosy these assholes really were. So that they went through my little scrapbook. And they found my map, and they found the area that said bathroom. And I didn't have the luxury of having been taught by my parents. I had just been taught by the other neighborhood kids. So, yeah, I got the same speech about how vile and disgusting a human being I was, you know, for pissing in the woods. And, you know, I got to tell you, I don't see a problem with pissing in the woods. So, you know, as an adult now, I'm all for the pissing in the woods.
You know,
I'm pissed that my parents were getting mad at me.
Here's the thing. I'm thinking about this now. And I have a distinct memory of them when I was at the beach telling me to go in the water and just piss in the water.
See, that's worse.
And not only that, they thought it was so amusing because I just walked up to the edge and just pissed into the water. Because I thought,
see, that's
they confused
the
me.
The fucked up things parents do, they teach you one thing.
Yeah.
And then get mad at you for doing something slightly similar.
And this is really fucking embarrassing. Like, I've never admitted this to anybody, but it's one of those, like, really foggy fucking childhood memories that in my mom's laundry room, she used to have this, like, this canvas shopping bag. You know, like, they use them a lot now, and you get maybe a nickel savings at ShopRite if you bring your own bag. But she just had one of those bags that she just kept in the laundry room and had, like, a very 70s-ish pattern of leaves and flowers. And I remember, foggy, I remember going in there, closing the door, and pissing all over that bag. And I remember doing it more than once. Like, there's no reason for it. I know that it was wrong. I know that I knew at that point it was wrong. But I figured, like, I don't really know what I figured. I just knew that it was a very, like, if anybody knew, this would be a bad thing. And I think at one point the bag was just thrown out. Like, I don't know. No one ever, like, mentioned it to me. But
it's just funny because you're making me think of something very similar in my childhood.
But now that I'm thinking about it, like, I know the house is dimensions pretty fucking well, like having measured and actually like done work in this house. Where I used to play, it was like 3 feet from the fucking toilet. Like, I had to put in work to go and do this.
Like, you had to, like, really, you had to be dead set on doing it.
Like, we never put the toilet seat down. It's just, like, literally, I could have walked 2 feet and pissed into the toilet I've always been told to piss into, except for the beach in the woods.
Well, but see, I'm thinking
I decided to go out of my way, shut the door, and piss all over this fucking bag.
Well, you had some anger issues. This is, because, okay, so this goes with your shopping. This is the bags you used
to shop.
Maybe
that's what it was. I don't know.
So, like, you're enraged and furious at this bag because you were associating it with these awful time shopping. You know? And it's funny because, you know, now that we've both talked about this, I'm wondering how many other people have stories that are like this, or if we're just the only two fucked up people that do. Like, and this just goes to show you, treat your fucking kids good.
I pissed in my own house. Like,
not in the toilet. I think mine's worse. At least you piss in a bag. I don't know why I did this, but I do recall doing this. Now, I had dogs growing up. I don't know if you had dogs growing up.
We had like an outside dog, you know.
But I always had dogs. They were inside dogs, but okay. I always had dogs growing up. But my parents were fucking horrible about house training dogs. So the dogs would always at some point piss in the fucking house. So fucking disgusting. But to make it more disgusting, one time I decided that I was just going to piss and blame it on the dog. So I pissed right on the carpet, right in the fucking family room. Just fucking, I don't remember how old I was, but I just fucking let loose right there. And then I said, if anyone finds it, it was a dog.
Wait, you didn't have to, you just decided to do it. It's like,
I don't know what it, oh yeah, I didn't, well, I mean, did you have to piss on the bag? I mean, you know,
no,
clearly you didn't.
I just let it soak into the bag. Like, there was nothing in it. It was just like I would see how much, I guess, see how much of my piss would absorb in the canvas.
No, I think you were definitely angry. Now Keith Fu is saying he did something. This must be something either all men do or all kids do, because now we've got a third person who's somewhat denying it but admitting it, saying he peed in the hamper, which I think peeing in the hamper might be the worst of all.
Well, they're already dirty. They're going to get washed.
That's fucking clothes, man. I don't know.
It's not the fucking carpet, and it's not a I guess some prized antique shopping bag that my mom always had out but never used. Like, I don't know why.
And now I'm recalling a guy I work with, him telling me a story about his kid. His kid, they'd be sleeping, and they had one of those, like people keep change in the water jugs that you get at work, like the big 5 gallon jugs of water.
Yeah.
So a lot of people start filling that up with change so they can turn it. He said one night he woke up and the kid was over in the corner by the jug. And he's like, Nate, what are you doing? And the kid's just laughing. And he turned on the light, the kid's pissing right into the fucking change jug. And laughing his ass off about it.
Wow.
So I have a feeling that this is something that, like, you know, people do pretend like didn't happen in their childhoods, but I think it's probably happened to
I think people. I think most people now that we're unlocking this, we're kind of exploring this a little bit, I bet you most people have pissed. Most guys
have pissed.
It's probably more of an endeavor for a girl to do it, but like, most guys have just aimed it somewhere in the fucking house that they live, play, and sleep in, and just fucking pissed.
Well, you think about it, it's kind of like you know, like, if a dog gets mad, a dog will act out. They'll be bad. They'll piss them. You know, same thing with cats or a lot of other animals. You know, if you don't clean a cat's litter box, it'll act out and it'll piss all over the fucking couch or something instead.
Yeah.
So this probably is the same exact behavior that's being undertaken by young boys when they're mad at their parents. They realize that this is really going to get to them. Like, what's going to piss off your parents more than fucking letting loose on their fucking carpet or on their shopping bag?
Yeah.
Like, now, does your mom use the shopping bag after you pissed on it?
Like, listen, I didn't really follow the life cycle of this bag. I just knew it was there to be pissed on. It was always there.
Your existence is for urinating on.
I get, maybe I was like experimenting just to see if like this could be like some kind of alternative bathroom. Or like, I'm telling you, it was like at least 4 times the distance and effort than pissing in the toilet.
You weren't going out of your way. There had to be some bottled up rage that you were letting loose at that point. It's the only thing that makes sense.
I don't know. I think I was a pretty optimistic kid. I don't know if this was before or after the talking to. I'm guessing it was probably after the talking to. Oh, Shawnee's piss-covered carpet is checking in the Heroes Talk chat room. They say, way to blame it on the dog, Shawnee. Only I know the truth.
See, I don't think I actually did get to blame it on the dog, but I had thought it out enough.
Oh, they just accepted that it was the dog because there's piss on the rug.
Yeah, like, yeah, they must have just thought it. Like, but I thought like,
fucking dog.
Like, I had thought it through far enough that if like push came to shove, they would blame the dog. Like, I don't even think I would have come up in the thought process of having done this. Like, I knew that they were gonna think the dog did. And I mean, the volume of piss a human creates in comparison to what a dog does. Like, I mean, so you're a kid, you're 40 pounds or whatever. I have a 15-pound dog. So let's just assume, you know, weight to volume ratio that the human kid is pissing roughly three times the amount that the dog would actually let loose.
They probably looked at it and said, this poor thing
was probably fucking ruined, man.
This poor thing had to go. Look at how much there was. You streamer 63321 is asking, you ever pee in a minivan? My van died. I called to have it donated and was so mad the transmission went out that he pissed all over the back. And also, as a fucking cherry on top, his friend dropped a deuce in the middle of it.
So I'm just wondering.
They're donating a van people, and his friend shit in it.
That's actually, that's some seriously like awful behavior there. Think like, about it. Like they're doing good. They're giving to charity, and they make the charity come and collect a shit covered van.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I mean, the pissing I kind of have no problem with, but when you start getting to the realm of shit and like public spaces, like that kind of crosses the fucking line. That you never like fucking had the shit outside, and you know, like I mean, I always try to find my way to a toilet when I have to fucking shit.
Well, yeah, I would be that way too. But this is actually reminding me of some degenerate behavior that I heard about. And
was it at Nussman's house with your friend Joshy?
No. This is actually a different story. I already told that one.
I know. I just bringing it up. That fucking brings a smile to my fucking face.
Degenerate or knowing of degenerates, but I didn't actually know who engaged in this. But when I was in college, and I don't know if you had the same gig when you're in the dorms. Like, if someone did something to the dorm,
yeah.
They would send a bill to the entire hall.
Oh,
so, like,
yeah.
If someone like, you know, just like if someone
they ruined the
like,
common
you know,
area, they burned.
Yeah,
the couch,
yeah. So,
we're
so
all
for us, like, if someone had left a garbage bag in the hallway, they would charge a collection fee and charge the entire hallway for it.
Yeah.
And so this was rampant my sophomore year in college, and so someone had the bright idea that they were going to go talk to the housing services people and say, you know, kind of give them a what for and a what the fuck on this. And they came in, and instead of like listening to our gripes, they started telling stories about what people did in the dorms. And the one story, and it'll stay with me until the day I die, they're like, one time a cleaning woman walked in the men's bathroom and there was someone had shit on a cracker. and left it in the middle of the bathroom. Like,
why do you include the cracker if it's in a fucking bathroom? That's incidental at that point.
I don't know. That's enhancing the story. Like, someone went out of their way to actually shit onto the fucking cracker.
And Keith Fu's amazed by the accuracy. I bet you they just let it hang out a little bit and just kind of stuck it on the end.
It's kind of like when you get the squeeze cheese and you So you're doing the same thing. You just let it hit. Once you feel it hit, you know, push it up, mash it up a little bit, and bam.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're aiming like a bullseye on the cracker.
So they told you, like, I guess to kind of shock you that someone shit on a goddamn saltine. Or maybe a Ritz.
I think everyone was pretty shocked by this, actually. Like, all of a sudden, we were like, you know what? They got a point.
They probably took a Ritz and like, put it in the hole. Like, they stretched their asshole open around the Ritz and shit and forced it through. That's how it got stuck to it.
I think you're going a little far on this one.
See? Well, they went a little fucking far by including the cracker. The fact that shit is on the floor is enough. Do you understand?
I don't know. I think like, shit on the floor, like, who's going to believe that? But you say someone shit on a cracker. That's one of those
that's
so
even,
outlandish.
Even
someone couldn't make that shit up. You couldn't make up.
I submit
the cleaning woman
that's
walking
made up.
In the bathroom, how, like, you gotta have one creative fucking mind, like more than Consuela, the cleaning woman, could possibly come up with, that she walked in the bathroom and someone had defecated on a cracker.
Yeah. Again, shit in public spaces, just not cool. But I do know of at least one scenario where I can almost say it's acceptable. My family would go, we still go to North Carolina, but years past, we used to go to Myrtle Beach, which is even further. It's about like a 15, maybe 13-hour drive. Okay, I think it was 15 because we had like, this is like the beginning of us owning a computer, and we had like the CD-ROM fucking travel directions thing, which was like 5 years outdated, and we like went through all the fucking windy roads. It was like 15 hours of driving. And on the way home, the trip is over. It's always a miserable fucking ride because you're going to get home, you're going to unpack all your shit, and it's, you just want it to fucking end. So into this 15-hour drive, at hour 10, my dad realizes he's got a shit, but he doesn't want to stop. So, I mean, most people would just stop and go shit and then fucking, and that's it. But he wanted this trip to be over so fucking badly that he attempted to hold a shit for 5 fucking hours until we were home. And he succeeded pretty well, okay? Like, he made it to a point, which is, depending on how fast you're traveling, normal clip, 5 minutes from our door. We're at a stoplight. He says, "That's it!" Opens the door, gets out, right next to the fucking car, takes a shit, and within like maybe 3 or 4 minutes, he rushes back in the car. "Paper! The paper!" Yell, "That toilet paper, come on!" He's like really fucking furious. My mom just was like, "What the fuck?" Like, he didn't explain it. He just said, "That's it!" and got out of the car.
He just got out of the car.
And our truck
started shitting right next to
our
it.
Our truck is filled with just fucking boxes and suitcase. Like, you can't see out of it. Like, not like I'm trying to peek and see my fucking dad's shit on the goddamn road that I travel over to this day. You couldn't see. Like, no one knew what was going on. "That's it!" Got out of the car. Shit. Come in. "The paper! The paper! Give me the fucking toilet paper!" He goes, my mom just hands him the roll. He goes, guess he wipes his fucking ass and just drops the whole roll right on top of it. Gets in, and like, you could tell from the way the car was moving and like, he wasn't avoiding bumps and shit, like that he was just furiously driving up to this point. But as we pulled away, and I could see out of the back, because for some reason, whenever we went on the trip, I always wanted to be in the very back of the car because it's kind of like you could stretch out and shit. So I was in the very back of the car in my own little fucking space carved out of the goddamn luggage. As we pulled away, I just saw this mountain of fucking brown toilet paper and shit. Like this really respectable pile of fucking shit.
Now did he shit
right in the
road?
Middle, in the middle of the fucking road. Like, it was too...
Now what time of day was this?
It was probably like 1 a.m. There's nobody on the fucking road. Maybe the occasional passerby. There's like no... at this point, there were no bars or anything like that. So like, there's no reason for anybody to be out at that point, at that year. Just two-lane road. We were in the right lane. He gets in the left lane, takes the shit of his fucking life, and just leaves the toilet paper on top. And like, everybody's puzzled. No one really knows, like, I mean, until the toilet paper's handed out, everybody
That's
fucking
it?
Gets it. And then I just see this mountain of toilet paper. And it was the most relaxed 5 minutes that we've ever traveled on any fucking vacation. Usually it's a goddamn a maelstrom of activity getting the car unloaded. And he just took his fucking sweet time. Just fucking took it easy. I bring one bag in. You bring something, whatever. He was so relieved. He held his shit for nearly 5 hours.
See, what I don't get, though, is like, how do you fail to finish off the last 5 minutes?
He couldn't.
You get that far. It's just like, you know, at that point, I would just shit in my pants if there was no other option. Like,
well, think about it this way. Do you want it in the driver's seat that you're going to be spending time in? Like, or do you want it just in the road?
How could you fail? You're that close. You've done 98%, maybe 99% of the trip of having to shit. And somehow you get that close.
Well, you think about it this way. It's 5 minutes to the door, okay? You get another
yeah,
what?
Book ass into the door? I've done that before where you do the you
That's
do
another
the
2 minutes, okay?
You do the waddle, like, where you have to, like, walk pigeon-toed.
He was well beyond pigeon-toed. Like, I really think that the minute air touched his ass, it just fucking released. Like, he was that fuck, like... That, like, fuck it, I'm going. I don't care who's watching me. Like, he didn't... It's not like he checked if the coast was clear. He stormed out of the fucking car.
See, I mean, this is coming from someone who, as we've discussed in the past, I shit rarely. And I've developed... And I know I'm going to die of colon cancer one day as a result of all of this. But I've developed a keen ability to really hold my shit. So that's why I'm really not understanding this, because I hold my shit. But I can somewhat understand, because for some reason, although I can hold a shit for hours on end, the instant I get into my house, it's like my body decides, okay, now it's on. Like,
it's
then
like, it's like when the Super Mario music speeds up.
Exactly. Like,
fuck the power-ups. I got to get to the flag.
And it's on then. Like, I once I walk in that door, I have to rush my way into the bathroom, because I'll have the turtle poking its way out at that point. Like, you know, as I'm pulling down the drawers, you know, it's a coming. And meanwhile, I just held it for 7 hours straight without any problem.
Seven hours.
I'll hold it for days.
Well,
I'll break myself. I will literally.
Hold on. You're not holding it for days. I'm talking about holding it starts when you get the sensation that, hey, I've got a shit.
No. I'm saying, like, I'll choke it back.
For days?
No, because what happens...
Shut the fuck up. Days?
No. What'll happen is eventually, it, like, you, like, break yourself. Like, you actually injure and, like, ruin, like, your
innards.
Yeah,
it kind of goes away sometimes. It does kind of go away.
Yeah,
like,
it goes away and the chance is gone.
And you're like, oh, dude, I got a shit. I'm like, hold on. You know what? Right now, I don't really feel... I don't have to shit anymore.
Yeah, it's done. And then, you're completely off schedule. Like,
what, does it just compress? Is that what it is?
I think it just locks together. It just compresses up and
I'm
forms.
HeroesTalk.com chat room. We're there every time we're live Tuesday nights. Clayton from Texas says that this explains so much. Sean has fists of Doritos and the colon of steel. Jesus. Yeah, I get. I mean, I understand that, but
like eventually, if you hold it too long, it locks itself back up, and you don't have to go again. You're like miss a turn. So my turn, as we've already discussed, is incredibly lengthy. Like, I can go days without shitting.
Oh, you think it's like trying to get on a merry-go-round?
Yeah, if you miss your chance, if you miss your chance, it's over. You're done. You got to get it in while you can.
Oh,
and if you miss your chance, so say my chance happens every you know, 3 days, and if I hold it in too long and I miss the opportunity, well, that's another 3 days I got
to
go.
Do you ever that has to be a fucking exhausting thing. Do you ever just wish that you were the type of person that was
yes.
I got to shit?
I don't even know what you're going to say, but the answer is yes. I clearly wish I'm the type of person, and you can just fill in the blank.
That isn't, like, something that you already are. That's basically... Yeah.
Yes.
Like, the minute you feel like you have to shit, you know you have, like, an open window of a minute tops, and then you go shit and it's over. Like, you ever think of that being useful?
I do. The odd thing is, you know, I went through the bulk of my life, not the bulk, but, you know, like, certainly the majority of my growing up stage, where I had really no idea that it was odd to not shit, you know, to take these long shits and to have these long periods of time between shits. I literally thought that's just what happened. I didn't know. No one ever told me otherwise that, hey, you should be shitting more often. And I can clearly remember being like a freshman or sophomore year of high school. And somehow this conversation came up and I happened to mention it. And someone goes to me, they're like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, I shit every day after dinner. And I'm like, what? Like, it didn't comprehend to me, because I had no idea. I'd lived an entire life of shitting on this bizarre and weird schedule, having no clue that there was any other way. And then all of a sudden, like, my entire mind got blown by this concept that shitting was supposed to occur more regularly. And ever since then, I've now realized that there's something wrong with my shit habits. Like, I went through a blissful ignorance. I wished my entire life I had no clue that, you know, this was bizarre and strange, and I'd be cool with it. But now, because of this fucking guy in my freshman year in high school telling me that there's something wrong with my shit patterns, I now know, and I realize that they're that I'm not right. That there's
you probably have like a roller coaster loop in your fucking colon. Shit just gets jammed in there until enough force gets behind it to just push it all through. Clayton from Texas says, yes, it is odd to not shit regularly and for a single man to have that straight a bookshelf. Again with the bookshelf.
They love the bookshelf.
They fucking do. Nothing about the fleece today.
Nothing about the fleece.
That fucking fleece went nowhere today. You understand? Nobody even cared. They don't lay off the fucking
floating
bookshelf.
Head.
You try something new to divert attention from your meticulous fucking shelf. And
the bookshelf
fails.
Allows me to have my floating head on video.
Jesus Christ.
I like having the floating head. It looks kind of creepy. I can look at you, and it'll look pretty weird.
Well, thank
I'm looking
you.
The wrong way, probably.
Anyway.
Why
don't we just wrap this fucking thing up?
Why don't we wrap this fucking shit show up?
This literal shit show. I'm sorry. I'm fucking speechless. Anyway, thank you for listening to episode 274 of the DJ New Style Show. Greatly, greatly appreciated. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com. Download everything we've ever done. Subscribe. Tell your fucking friends. Whatever. Honestly, we know how fucking miserable this is, and the fact that you listen to it really fucking makes us happy. Is that fucking horrible to say? Is that fucking gay? Well, you know what? As gay as it might be, it's fucking true. Thank you for listening, everybody. Best in Show Radio, bestinshowradio.com. Thursday nights, 9 to 11 on Hear Us Talk. Listen and enjoy it. And don't forget, Hate Us Talk, Monday nights, hearustalk.com. That's hateustalk.tumblr.com. Who is Rorschach? hearustalk.com/who is he. Shawnee, you have anything you want to say?
I think everything that had to be said has been said.
I agree.
See ya.
Banana, fuck you.
Oh.